Every time the Blackhawks win this season, you could win big with Circa Sports Illinois. One fan scores a two-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino, and 100 more win a $100 Circa app credit. Don't miss your shot. See the Blackhawks contest page.
Welcome to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Meliotis here, and as always, Jack Heinrich riding shotgun with me here in our downtown Chicago studios. Jack, what's going on tonight?
Nothing. I'm glad TGL's on because it feels like a Blackhawks Live day.
It does. So for context, last year, the TGL league that was happening on ESPN would always be on during our Blackhawks Live shows. And for some reason, it feels like it started later this year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a lot later.
Yeah. So we're finally back in full swing. Now it feels like we're in the groove of Blackhawks Live. And so, but let's get into Blackhawks world and what the heck has happened over the last week for Chicago, because there have been so many storylines.
Feels like a long time since we've had a show.
Connor Bedard wasn't in the lineup the last time we did a show. And that is like the last thing that people are talking about over the last several days. And it's hard not to start with the stomach bug that is ripping through the Blackhawks locker room. So I was at Blackhawks morning skate on Friday, and all of the talk, really the attention of that morning was going to be whether or not Connor Bedard was going to return to the lineup, because it felt like he was tracking for a return. And we get out there, we see Connor Bedard in a normal top six red jersey, which was indicating that he was tracking for a return that night against the Washington Capitals. Well, then I'm looking at morning skate, and I'm like, I don't notice a couple of guys out here. I didn't notice Ilya Mikheyev. I didn't see Nick Foligno. I didn't see Arvid Soderblom on the ice. And my first thought was, okay, this might be an optional morning skate for the Blackhawks. But then that thought was quickly disrupted by another one that said that would be a strange optional morning skate for the Blackhawks, because yesterday was an off day. You know, typically it's like practice, then maybe optional morning skate. So it's not a lot of time on the ice in consecutive days. But the Hawks were coming off an off day, and I'm like, well, that can't be right. And then I didn't see Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill on the ice either. So that was a little confusing. And we did see legendary Blackhawks emergency goaltender Scott Foster, who came into that relief game in 2018 against the Winnipeg Jets. He was the fill-in for Arvid Soderblom. So Jeff Blashill wasn't on the ice. We heard that he was ill. And so Blackhawks assistant coach Mike Vellucci ends up doing the pregame media availability. And then later in the afternoon, actually like early afternoon, the Blackhawks called up Kevin Korchinski and Drew Commesso, presumably as insurance policies in case whatever was ailing the Blackhawks, which we found out right after that it was the stomach bug, that they could kind of be on standby in case they need to slide into the lineup. Well, I get to the rink and I get to the radio booth, and I hear that Spencer Knight is likely not going to be playing for the Blackhawks, and Drew Commesso is going to be stepping in to make his first start of the season. So the Hawks were going to be down their top two goaltenders. And then I also heard that Louis Crevier was not going to be in the lineup, which means that Corbin Korchinski, who got called up to be maybe the seventh guy to be on standby, ends up sliding into the lineup without Spencer Knight, without Arvid Soderblom. Drew Commesso is in net for Chicago, and he thought he was coming up to be called up to be the backup, but he ends up starting, and then the Hawks don't have a backup ready, so they have an emergency goaltender as their backup. Dave Nozalillo was the backup for the Blackhawks in that game, and so he was sitting on the bench. The game starts. We find out that Nick Foligno is playing, so whatever was ailing him, the stomach bug, went through him. Jeff Blashill was on the bench, but he didn't look like his normal self. He looked like he was still battling. Anders Sorensen, Blackhawks assistant coach, was also not on the bench. So you had Mike Vellucci running the defenseman, because Sorensen, that's usually his. So just a very, very strange day. Hawks end up losing that game 5-1, but it was difficult to be upset about the outcome of it, given the circumstances. And then, Jack, I got a little worried for Saturday's game, because I'm like, if the Hawks are missing all these guys on Friday, then the Hawks play in Nashville on Saturday. It feels like there's no way somebody else isn't going to come down with it. Well, they get Mikheyev back, and they get, Nick Foligno stayed in the lineup. So Ilya Mikheyev returns to the lineup. Everyone else stays. But Drew Commesso ends up starting in net, and he was just fantastic. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I got a little worried for the rest of the Blackhawks team. And then, to put a bow on this, yesterday's game, the Blackhawks are facing Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers, and all the talk.
You're in the clear.
You think you're in the clear. You think the Hawks have moved past this, that nobody else was affected. And we get to the rink, and word trickles to us that Connor Bedard is not going to be available for the Blackhawks because he too has come down with the stomach bug. So the Hawks are really battling this. I have not been around a situation like this before where the entire, well, I guess maybe you can compare this to the COVID year where when one player got COVID and then like a few of them would drop. And, but when that was a thing, like the NHL would just cancel those games. They would reschedule them.
Or you had the taxi squad already there.
Exactly. Yeah. You had the taxi squad that was able to supplement. But in a situation like that, I've never been around a situation like this where you're like, you got to scrape together a lineup and you're down to your third string goaltender who thought he was going to be starting for the Rockford Ice Hogs ends up starting for the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, what a crazy week it's been just from the illness perspective for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, it was really weird. I've seen all your guys' tweets on Friday about all these guys not in there for morning skate. But, I mean, Drew Commesso, kind of that Friday game was he got thrown into it, and then the Hawks were just trying to kind of scrap by, and you think Connor Bedard coming back is going to be like, oh, this is going to be great. Then it's just all these guys go down. But, I mean, to their credit, they bounced back Saturday, and then Bedard gets it, so I mean, you really want him in a game against Edmonton, but it is crazy because every time we go to the arena now, I feel like we're going to get like a sick list, and hopefully it's gone now. We thought we were in the clear, and hopefully it's gone now. But it has been a crazy week, and not really something you've seen before. And the players have kind of acknowledged it, not really using it as an excuse, but more saying this is like the reality of our situation. And I mean, even if the guys are back playing, you still are kind of fighting it off, and the illness kind of can linger a little bit, but hopefully they got good trainers and medicine and hydrating tricks and whatnot. So hopefully they can get back soon because they got the busy week here. We keep talking about the Olympic break, and we're really getting down to it, and the games are getting condensed here.
Well, it's funny, Jack, because when I got home last night after the game, you start to get inside your own head because I like my stomach started to act just a little bit off, right?
I was sitting in our booth, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to go in this locker room. Like, I'm not trying to get taken out. The Bears play tomorrow. We got a hockey game. Like, I'm not trying to get taken out, but I was in my head too.
it was such a minor thing where like I felt my stomach was just like whatever. When I got home from the game last night, I'm like, oh no, is this the start of symptoms? And then turns out I fall asleep, wake up, I'm fine. But it's like, you just never know because we're around these guys every single day. And even it got to the point where, last night's game, Teuvo Teravainen left after the first period. And I went back and watched his couple shifts. I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary. So then I'm like, oh, he maybe got something. Maybe the stomach bug hit him mid game and then turned like that. That was kind of where my head went. And then we find out Jeff Blashill said after the game, he was dealing with an injury. We'll get an update on it tomorrow after practice, but it's like, that's my first reaction now. I'm like, oh, another one has fallen with the stomach bug.
Yeah. I mean, that was the first question that Jeff Blashill, like, oh, like he's sick too. And it's like, oh no, he got hurt. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're not used to injuries. We're just used to the sickness. Right.
All right. Speaking of though, the injury report, which maybe we can relabel the illness report just for this one Blackhawks live show, is sponsored by Illinois Bone and Joint Institute. Injured after hours, they've got you covered with access to their clinical team beyond regular clinical hours. Learn more at IBJI.com. We mentioned Teravainen. We're going to get an update on him tomorrow after practice to maybe get a better sense of the severity of the situation. Hawks have been without Frank Nazar for the last couple weeks. He's been out since December 20th with what's believed to be a fractured jaw. I think we'll get more of an update on him tomorrow as well. He's been skating over the last week or so. So hopefully he's going to maybe track for a return potentially before the Olympic break, although it might be pushing it at this point. But the big one was, let's get to the return of Connor Bedard, who did in fact return to the lineup on Friday before the illness knocked him out in the last night's game. And I thought he was noticeable early on in the game against Washington. And I know that wasn't really a game that the Blackhawks had their legs, but Connor Bedard had 3 shots on goal in the first period alone against the Capitals. And it didn't look like he was shaking off much rust. His legs were going. He had been out for 11 or 12 games. And so it was just great, 12 games with the right shoulder injury. And it was just great to see him look more like himself. But I thought in the game against Nashville, he was really noticeable, specifically the two primary assists that he had. The first one on the Tyler Bertuzzi goal was just an absolute thing of beauty. And so I thought he was noticeable, wasn't shaking off any rust. And it's unfortunate that we did not get to see the Bedard versus McDavid matchup last night, because it feels like Connor McDavid is just on another level right now with the point streak that he has, 19 games, which is a personal best for him. And then with Connor Bedard, he always likes the challenge of going up against superstars like Connor McDavid. He was not available to play in that game, but it's encouraging that Connor Bedard is back in the lineup, feeling like himself, because we even saw it last night, Jack. The Hawks are a different team when 98 is in the lineup versus when he's not.
Yeah, you just saw it instantly. They asked Nick Foligno that yesterday, like, you guys learned how to win without him. It's like, was it hard to go back to it? And he was just kind of didn't really, I think it's just kind of one of those games. Like, you're playing Edmonton, Leon Draisaitl gets a point against them every game. Connor McDavid's hard to hold down. And when you don't have Nazar already out and then Bedard goes down late, I mean, it's hard to adjust on the fly. But you see how important he is. And even when he comes back and he just looks like he's himself. And Bedard said he liked getting hit on that first shift back, because you never know how that's going to go when you have like an upper body injury, and his shot seems fine. And that was like my main concern is, did the shot look okay, and was he scared of getting hit? And it seemed like he was fine. So hopefully he can bounce back from this stomach bug and get back in the lineup. And it seems like he's on standby for Team Canada, so that might still be out there. But mainly for the Blackhawks, they're 3 points out of a playoff spot, just hovering around in there. And if they want to make a push, this is their time when they get 98 back.
Yeah, no question. It did look like he did a great job of making sure that he didn't put himself in vulnerable positions where he was going to maybe test out that right shoulder as far as, you know, getting hit along the boards. But he did say getting hit in that first shift really got him in the game and maybe gave him the confidence that, okay, yeah, my shoulder is fine, let's just go out and play. Now, I will say this, the Blackhawks are going to be extra cautious with Connor Bedard's right shoulder, and they are not giving him face-off responsibilities for the foreseeable future, which is an easy decision to make given that Bedard can still play the center position, which he's most natural at, but you could just have another guy on that line take draws. In this case, Ryan Green, who actually is a natural center, but gets pushed to the wing when he plays on a line with Connor Bedard. I mean, Ryan Green, I think the game that Frank Nazar got hurt, he took like 23 draws, or maybe it was like 26 draws maybe, against the Ottawa Senators, and he won a majority of them. So he can certainly do so, but I think the Hawks are going to make sure that they're not putting any extra strain on the right shoulder of Connor Bedard. And you mentioned, by the way, the Team Canada situation, which is really fascinating, because I was driving in today. Last night I saw that Braden Point of the Tampa Bay Lightning got hurt. And he was one of the six players that was named on Team Canada's roster initially, like right when the roster got released, like a couple months ago. He was one of the six locks. Well, he got hurt in the game last night. And that's a guy that was likely going to be playing a top six role, middle six at worst, and potentially be on a line with Connor McDavid. And we heard Team Canada GM Doug Armstrong talk about, if there are injuries to the roster, they're going to replace those players with specific types of players. So if they lose a fourth line guy to injury, they're going to try to replace him, or maybe fourth line is the wrong word. If they lose an important penalty killer to an injury, they're going to want to replace that player with another important penalty killer. Whereas if you lose an offensive player, they're going to want to replace that player with an offensive player, right? So you imagine Connor Bedard falls into the offensive player category. Well, Braden Point is kind of a guy that falls in between, where he can be an offensive player, but he can also play in like a checking type role, and he can slide over to the wing. So this is going to be a fascinating conversation between now and the Olympics, because I don't think we have a firm update yet on Braden Point's injury, but it certainly did not look good last night. And if he is potentially going to miss the Olympics, I would not be surprised if there's a really hard conversation going on behind the scenes about whether or not they would rather fill Braden Point's position with an upside guy like Connor Bedard, or if it's going to be more of a Sam Bennett player where you can slide him into your middle six and he can play a bruising, hard type game. That's going to be really interesting, but I'm curious to see how that's all going to shake out. But yeah, Connor Bedard being on standby, I think one of the reasons, one of the motivating factors of him also wanting to make sure that he returned and was feeling like himself is so that he can show Team Canada, hey, I'm good to go. So if you decide that you have an injury and you want me on the roster, the sample size is going to be large enough that you feel good enough picking Connor Bedard to be on Team Canada's roster, knowing that, okay, he's returned to the lineup for a few weeks now. He looks like himself. We know what we're getting ourselves into. He should be fine.
Yeah, that is interesting. I did see the Braden Point thing, and it seems like it's a week-to-week thing now. And so it very well could be an interesting situation. And I think Bedard said he's on standby. He was kind of like, I think they told me to be ready, but he didn't really explicitly say, like, yeah, I'm on the list. But
I think he was saying that because he didn't want to, like, break news and maybe disrespect Team Canada's decision of if they wanted to keep that under wraps. But I don't think that was I think that was probably made clear to him, like, you are one of the 14. He was just trying to make sure that he wasn't interfering with how they wanted to unveil that.
Okay, so he's sitting there, and that does make sense if they want that offensive punch. And like you were saying, if they lose it because they didn't have like that offensive guy or something, then they're gonna be asking a lot of questions. So this could be a way back for him. And he just needs to get over the stomach bug. Now it seems like he keeps getting thrown stuff these first 3 years, and he's trying to overcome them. And hopefully the better stuff's on the way, and he could play a full year and get through this stuff and be stronger because of it. But yeah, he just needs to get back. And I mean, him focusing on this season for the Hawks specifically, I think has paid off. Even though he missed some time with the injury, it looks like he's becoming that player and that offensive driver they got.
I knew that we were going to get a Braden Point injury update either today or tomorrow. I didn't see the one that you just referred to. And John Cooper, Tampa Bay Lightning head coach, who was also Team Canada's head coach, said this a couple hours ago on Braden Point. Quote, we avoided the worst case scenario. His season is not over, but he is week to week. So the week to week injury, though, seems pretty interesting, because what if he doesn't return before the Olympics, but he might be ready to go by the Olympics? Like, there's still uncertainty there on what version of Braden Point they would be getting.
John Cooper's right there too, so he knows the medicals.
Exactly. He has the disclosed information both publicly and behind the scenes on what version he might be getting, and obviously he has that direct line of communication with Braden Point. So just something to monitor. But tying it all back to the Connor Bedard situation, it feels like Bedard returning to the lineup, while it's great for the Blackhawks, it also puts him back on Team Canada's radar, where they can watch Hawks games again and be like, okay, he looks good to go if we ever needed to call on him for an injury replacement. We got more to get to here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. We're going to look around the NHL next with Mike Palm from Circa on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. When the Blackhawks win, you can win. Circa Sports is giving away one grand prize stay and other prizes every time the Blackhawks win. Every time the Blackhawks win, someone will win a two-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, plus $500 stadium credit and a Blackhawks Centennial jersey. Additionally, 100 people will get $100 credit on their Circa app account. Enter once and you'll be eligible to win on all future game days when the Blackhawks win home and away. See the Blackhawks contest page for details. Let's go to the phone lines now and bring in our guy, Mike Palm from Circa. Mike, how we doing tomorrow? How we doing tonight?
Bad. We just had the Blues in town on their road trip. Got to hang out with their executives and their sponsors over the weekend, so that was pretty cool. And as well as the Oakland A's, parenthetically. But yeah, and we had our payouts for our big football contest. So it was a good weekend.
All right. I love it. It was a weird weekend in Blackhawks land because the stomach flu was ripping through the Blackhawks locker room. So we had like seven or eight guys and coaches affected by this. And unfortunately, Mike, we were robbed of Connor Bedard versus Connor McDavid last night because Bedard was affected by it. And that's kind of where I want to start with Connor McDavid. Boy, oh boy. He just seems like he's playing on another level right now. And it got me thinking how the Hart Trophy conversation right now is really interesting, and it feels like a three-horse race between Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, and Macklin Celebrini. How would you handicap those three right now as we sit here today?
Well, I would draw a line through Celebrini. As dynamic as he is, and none of the Blackhawk fans want to hear me talk about Celebrini, he's not winning the Hart Award. Let's just be honest here. So then it becomes a two-horse race. I mean, McKinnon's anywhere from minus 330 to minus 370 in the market right now. Some places are just offering McKinnon versus the field. I wouldn't take the field, though. If you don't think it's McKinnon, then take McDavid at 6 or 7 to 1. But I could not get involved in this market only if there was somebody that offered a no on Celebrini. And I know at plus 430, you're probably going to have to lay $9, but if I had to make the bet, I would lay the $9 that he would not win the Hart.
It feels like with Nathan MacKinnon, how strong of a start that he had and how just otherworldly the Colorado Avalanche have been this season, something would need to happen for MacKinnon not to win it, right? Like, even though McDavid has had such an unbelievable last 19-game stretch here where he's had like 45 points, which is great production for a season, let alone like a middle six winger season, let alone just a month. But it feels like Nathan MacKinnon is going to have to lose it more than McDavid is going to have to win it. Is that fair?
Well, I think it's very fair, and you have to factor in the fact that the Avalanche are going to win the President's Trophy, and this is an MVP award. It's not Most Outstanding Player, it's MVP. And so the Oilers are probably going to contend for the Pacific with the Golden Knights in a very weak Pacific division. So you also throw behind the success of the team if you want to use tiebreaker between the two. So something's going to happen injury-wise or something for MacKinnon not to get it. This also goes to my point about leaving Jason Robertson off the Olympic team. I mean, Jason Robertson is the leading American point getter, just like MacKinnon is the leading Canadian point getter. Would you leave MacKinnon off the Canadian Olympic team? I still cannot fathom this move of leading Robertson off the Olympic team.
I can't either, and it doesn't make sense to me because not only does he provide, like, I understand the familiarity that having guys like JT Miller and Vinny Trocheck have on a group that includes Mike Sullivan and David Quinn as the coaching staff. But my goodness, like, what does Jason Robertson have to do to get on that team? And if Team USA goes into this Olympics and let's just say they lose in the gold medal game by a goal, which happened at the Four Nations, Team USA didn't hear the end of it that Kyle Connor was on there. He was essentially a healthy scratch, and he was one of the best goal scorers in the NHL. Like, if they lose by a goal and they got Jason Robertson sitting at home, boy, that's going to be hard to stomach.
And of course, I said this. What sense does it also make for Guerin, who knows he's going to play the Stars in the first round of the playoffs?
Right.
And he ultimately is the GM leading him off the team, and you know you're going to get Ottinger and the Stars. For as much as you put this great team together with Hughes, you're going to have to get through them to get to Colorado. And why add more fuel to his fire?
Right. All right, let's go to the Eastern Conference. I was watching over the weekend. The New York Rangers faced the Boston Bruins, and they gave up a 10 spot on Saturday against Boston. I have no idea what's going on with the Rangers. I know they've been dealing with an injury to Adam Fox and Igor Shesterkin, so that certainly doesn't help. But they are near the bottom of the Eastern Conference standings. What do you do if you're the Rangers? And I guess more specifically, you got Artemi Panarin there as an unrestricted free agent. I have a hard time thinking that they're going to go through this trade deadline without exploring a trade for him, because if he walks via free agency and you get nothing for him, especially as a team that might be missing the playoffs, that seems like that would be really bad asset management.
They're a very interesting case. By the way, I lost three separate bets on that game.
Oh, no.
I mean, I bet under 2.5 goals in the third because it takes three clean goals. There's no empty net at that. You know, I just say.
Oh, that's a hard one.
I won one. I had Boston just because, you know, Quick is this 8 straight starts he hasn't won, and it was his 40th birthday, and it was a disaster. But the Rangers are interesting because they're generally a good road team and are horrific at home, which does you no good anyhow. If you're going to make the playoffs, where are you going if you can't win at home? I guess they have to assess when Shesterkin's going to be back, and do they think they're going to make a run in the East, and not only a run to make the playoffs, but a run to do anything in the playoffs, because if they don't think they can get beyond the first round, there's no sense of hanging on to Panarin.
And what's funny, too, I was just thinking about this as we were talking about the Olympic conversation. Boy, Team USA leaving off Adam Fox when they got Chris Drury on the management team for Team USA. You have Mike Sullivan, the head coach, David Quinn, the Rangers assistant coach on the staff. I wonder if that's going to potentially fracture the relationship between the Rangers and Adam Fox, because we saw what it did with Marty St. Louis when he wasn't included on Team Canada's last Olympic roster, where Steve Yzerman was the general manager, and he was also the general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like a week after the Olympics ended, Marty St. Louis still wanted out. So I wonder if that's a conversation that needs to be had, because, you know, John Cooper had a lot of say in Team Canada's roster, and he wanted Anthony Cirelli on it. Boy, if Mike Sullivan and his staff and the management couldn't find a way to get Adam Fox out there, I imagine that probably doesn't sit well inside that locker room either. So it's just like another layer added to whatever's going on with the Rangers.
Well, I think that Cooper has a lot more control with Team Canada than Sullivan does with Team USA.
Yeah.
I would make that argument. So you make an interesting point, but I'm willing to give Sullivan a pass here.
Let's stay in New York, kind of going, talking about the New Jersey Devils. What in the heck is going on with them? Because I thought they were, I mean, we were talking in, I think that in November, where we thought New Jersey was going to be a sleeper team in the Eastern Conference where they can just cruise. It feels like it coincided, their downfall has coincided with the injury to Jack Hughes, but also when the Quinn Hughes trade rumors started to elevate with Vancouver and whether he could be a potential fit for the Devils. Like, what? I'm shocked that they haven't been able to get the wheels back on the tracks.
Preseason, I bet Abs over Devils as my Stanley Cup exacta. So,
oh yeah, that's right.
I was really high on the Devils. It looked good early. It looked good into early November. I think that New Jersey thought that Quinn Hughes was a layup, you know, and that he wanted to come there, and they didn't have to pony up. And I guess, you know, maybe that's part of Hughes' comment about Guerin sacking up, that, you know, Minnesota put up the money. You know, every year they have these stupid injuries too, and dumb things that happen to that team, and it bites them. I'm not sure Sheldon Keefe is the guy either that maybe is the greatest leader in the world, but I've been searching for somebody else in the East because I think I'll be protected by my ticket by Colorado, but then I would need a different East champion than New Jersey. I guess in my mind right now, the Lightning are probably the most likely candidate.
Yeah, and also too, when the Quinn Hughes trade rumors start, if you're one of the guys that, you know, like if you're a Dawson Mercer or Simone Nemich and you're like, am I getting moved? Then it makes the entire locker room uncomfortable. And so that probably didn't help whatever was going on inside that room. Everyone's probably looking over their shoulder like, would I be one of the guys that get moved if Quinn comes here?
Yeah, it didn't help the locker room at all, obviously, but and you know they weren't going to say no. Obviously they were going to get him, but they just thought they could lowball the offer.
Right. All right, last one for you. Columbus Blue Jackets, they made a surprising head coaching change, obviously relieving Dean Evason of his head duties and hiring Rick Bowness as their head coach. Rick Bowness is obviously one of the most respected coaches in the entire NHL that feels like every time he retires, he says he's retired for good, then he comes out of retirement. This seems like a move where Columbus sees, even though they're dead last in the Eastern Conference, the conference is so wide open. I feel like Columbus is looking at this like if we can just get in, anything could happen because there are so many good teams that are outside of the playoff picture that aren't inside the playoff picture that, you know, you look at Philadelphia or the Islanders, the Sabres, the Red Wings, the Canadiens, all these teams like feel winnable and they haven't been there before. Do you think that Columbus is viewing this coaching change similar to how the St. Louis Blues kind of came back from dead last in 2019, stormed back to win the Stanley Cup?
And my friend, who's a professional bettor, and he's from northern Minnesota, so he's a big Wild fan, and he's a big hockey bettor. He kept telling me all along, Edison won't make the end of the year, and I said, you're wrong. You know, he's still mad Edison didn't win a playoff series with the Wild. Well, neither has John Hines, by the way. And, you know, in John Hines' 11th season, he's never won a playoff series. Rick Bowness, for his 182 years he's been coaching in the league, you know, when we think of him as a head coach, you know, he inherited Jim Montgomery's Dallas team, right? He inherited a very good team. He inherited Paul Maurice's Winnipeg team. So he's walked into good situations with contenders. Now, what does he do with this team here that's, you know, on the bottom looking up? I don't hate this team, and I think Jet Greaves is a good goalie. I think Jet Greaves has the potential to be a top 5 or 10 goalie in the league. People will say, no, he's not big enough. I don't agree with that. I'd like to see this kid develop, but I didn't like the move. I'm not gonna say Rick Bowness is a bad hire, because who could say that about Rick Bowness? Everybody loves Rick Bowness. I'm wondering where Pete DeBoer resurfaces. Pete DeBoer got fired for saying something that everybody knows in their heart of hearts: Ottinger can't win it. He said, I mean, he got fired for pulling Ottinger in Game 7. Meanwhile, he'd won, what, 8 straight Game 7s, DeBoer?
Right.
And then after the game, saying, I didn't think that Ottinger could win the game. Well, nobody does. I mean, he called it out. And, I mean, Ottinger went 3-1 last night in L.A. That's his first win in 6 starts. So if I'm an owner, if I'm a GM, I still have Pete DeBoer on the short list of people to call if I'm looking for a new head coach.
I'm right there with you. Mike, great stuff as always. Thanks for the insight, and we'll do it again in a couple weeks. All right, that is Mike Palm from Circa. We got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up Blackhawks Live presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, next on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Jack, you and I have a mutual friend. His name is Michael, and he has a little cousin who's in sixth grade named Nico. And he has a twin brother named Peter. They're both big Blackhawks fans, which, side note, I also am a twin. Well, I'm actually a triplet, but I have an identical twin brother. So Nico and Peter, we have a interesting, and Peter's my middle name. So we have some cool tie-in.
There we go.
But we have a mutual friend in Michael, and he texted us a picture yesterday, right before the Blackhawks game, of Nico, this clock that he made in his industrial arts class. And it is one of the coolest clocks that I've ever seen.
It's awesome.
Took a picture of it and sent it to us. And I was like, man, we got to give him a shout out on the air for his loyalty to the Blackhawks. But also, we love Michael as well. And so we're like, we got to give them some love. So thank you, Nico and Peter, for your loyalty, support, but also very cool industrial arts project. That clock is awesome. And I might have to put a bid for this clock.
Yeah, it was really well done. I can't do anything like that, and it's cool to see young Blackhawks fans making something like that in our class, and shout out to him, and hopefully the Hawks can keep it rolling here with the youth movement, and they can enjoy it.
I love it, absolutely. All right, we got to talk about something from Saturday. You and I both were working the Blackhawks game here against the Nashville Predators. We were here at the station, and as soon as the NFL playoffs announced their schedule, we saw that the Chicago Bears playoff game against the Green Bay Packers had the same exact start time as the Blackhawks Predators. And we were like, how in the world are we going to be able to concentrate on both games? Because for people behind the scenes that don't know, Jack and I work together for essentially every Blackhawks game, but you also work as a producer on the Hamp and OB show.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to kind of have two brains going, right? Yep. You had to focus on the Hawks game, but also focus on the Bears game. Well, both of us as Bears fans, even though I also had to pay attention closely to the Blackhawks game, I also had a vested interest in what was going on with the Bears game. And the post game show hits, the Blackhawks end up picking up a really impressive 36 save shutout victory by Drew Commesso. And as that game is ending, That is when the, like, right when the Blackhawks game ended is when the Bears started to mount their comeback. And that was one of the weirdest post-game
post-game
I've ever done, because we were trying to focus on the post-game show, but every time I looked up at the TV screen, like, there was a missed field goal, there was a missed extra point, there was a, you know, a fourth and eight conversion. I was just like, what is going on? So that's one of those nights that everyone is going to remember where they were in the moment, because not only was it the Blackhawks win, the Bears win, the Bulls also won, but in the middle of all of that, the Chicago Cubs landed marquee free agent Alex Bregman on a 5-year contract that the Jeff Passan came in tweet. I actually said, it was a Passan bomb. You actually had walked out. You came into to ask me something. You walked out. And then I saw you through the glass and I said, come back over here. Yeah. And I said,
you broke the news.
I broke it to you. I said, did you see the Passan bomb? And then you guys start celebrating. Speaking of, Bregman was at the United Center last night for the game.
Yeah.
So I think Ian Happ and Pete Crow Armstrong were also there, PCA. They were also in the suite, but they didn't get shown on the Jumbotron. Anyway,
Happ and PCA are kind of doing the sports tour right now.
PCA is on like a Bears luck, right?
Yeah. Happ was at the Packers game a few weeks ago. PCA said he's going again. I wonder if some of the Blackhawks are going to try to go because they got a day off.
I do think that is that might be the case, because the Saturday night game, when their game wrapped up, apparently all of the Blackhawks had their phones out and they were live streaming the Bears game, finished the fourth quarter on their phones. So they are very much invested in that. And I wouldn't be surprised if a big group ends up going to that game. But what a crazy Saturday that it was for us as people that are fans of the Bears, but also we had a job, two other jobs to do. In your case, I had the post game show. So it was easy to kind of keep one eye on the game during the Blackhawks game. But when I'm on my post game show, I kept looking up and I'm like, holy cow, like what is going on? So that's one of those that we're going to remember for a long time where we were for that.
Yeah, I did sports the next morning with Dean and he was saying the same thing. Everyone's going to remember where they were. And, yeah, that was fun. That's why you get into this, right? Sports are fun, and it's been a long haul for Chicago sports. We've kind of been in the rut here, but the Cubs make the playoffs. You know, the White Sox made a few interesting free agent signings. The Bears are doing this, and the Hawks seem like they're on the come up. So hopefully this is the start of something here. The Bulls are kind of middling around, but that's anyways.
What else is new?
Yeah, they won, so that's all that matters. But it was fun, and it was cool that a lot of the national, you know, like ESPN or whatever, these things were like, Chicago had this big night, and it was kind of cool to see that. And the Chicago's a proud city, and I think we kind of flexed that a little bit. They showed the numbers for the Prime game, and it was like 32 million or something like that. So that's why the Bears get fought over on national networks.
And you also, by the way, you also got some WGN TV time.
Me and Eli were on.
You and Eli. I literally just watched that earlier today. You guys did a fantastic job.
Shout out to
job.
Dean. He hooked us up.
I love it. All right, that's going to do it for Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Our next show is going to be next Tuesday, January 20th at 7 p.m. because Jonathan Toews is going to be in town on Monday night for the first time as a visitor. The news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.